Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 103, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries, as in the Coke brothers, and fuck Fox News. It's Monday, October 5th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It's October 7th, Dan. God.
Keep
told
that.
You. October 7th. I said, nah, it's 5th, man. Anyways, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I got energy, Coca-Cola energy. Tired of all the sugar trying to rob me of my energy. Trying to take the way from O'Brien. I can only fuck with coffee or else pray for O'Brien. Yeah.
Drop the fucking ball.
At Matt Dick, though.
I like how you go, I don't know. No, that was good.
I don't think I was on beat, but...
Hey, man.
I'm thrilled to be joined by you, though. I'm thrilled to be joined, as Thank always, you. By my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
This is how we do it. Zeitgeist is who you choose. We got all those hot take views. We're saying fuck Coke Industry and fuck Fox News. You see, the Jack's been good to me. Even through my love affair with Tuscany. Out here with Her Majesty. You've never been to Italy. You must simply go, y'all.
If you were from where I'm from, then you would know.
That's just the continuation of that song. One of my favorite. In a big black truck, you can get Jones in a 6-4. Whatever it is, the party's underway. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up.
Let
me hear the party say.
I think I've told this story before. My friend saw Montel Jordan in concert. And that's it for Miles. That's what this show is going to be for now. He saw Montel Jordan in concert and he played This Is How We Do It, Something for the Honeys, and then This Is How We Do It Again. And that was the set. A three solid songs.
Sando.
Yeah.
And shout out to the wonderful author of that, a.k.a. at JasonC1975.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third season
by the hilarious and talented Leah Rappaport.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
How
Thank
are you?
You. I'm
You've
great.
Got mail.
First timer.
Mail.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, first time.
First time, yep. Long time.
How you liking the? How do you like the studio? How do you like our lifestyle podcasting?
I mean, I feel kind of famous. Not gonna lie.
I'm not gonna lie
you
to you either.
Not.
You are famous.
Yeah. This is,
now.
This is a high point in my life, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone who comes on this show goes on to make, you know, unicorn apps
to
you
meet
know?
The person they're going to marry.
I'm here for both of those.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah. Here you're in the app game, huh?
I am in the app game. I am the founder of Spendwell. We're making an app that makes it easy for people to donate money to charity.
That is fantastic.
Thank you.
That sounds worthwhile.
Yeah.
That must be cool.
That's like a good thing.
Yeah.
Not like, yeah, we make it easy to like rent people's living rooms to smoke weed in.
Right.
Which is, I feel like, you know, everything's rentable now.
Right, right.
And this is actually connecting people with charity.
Yeah.
What's the problem with charitable giving that sort of you're addressing?
Well, you're going to hear more about this in my myth.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Well,
okay.
Well, I came prepared.
Let's let that cook organically.
Yeah. All right, Leah, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to talk about that look at this photograph meme, the Nickelback meme that the president used and misused, apparently.
Yeah. Got
it was
a copyright strike.
And we're going to just blow the whistle in general. Blow the whistle. Look at all the ways the president is making money off of the impeachment controversy. And we're going to ask the question, what else is in that secret vault server thingy? We're going to check in with the Joker, check in with the People's Republic of China, look at Halloween candy as it's Halloween candy buying season.
Yeah.
There's a report on the takeout that you could get 90 Airheads for $7.
I would take that deal. And I would, sadly, I could probably eat 30 in one sitting.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk about San Francisco rents and restaurants and plenty more. But first, Leah, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
This morning, I was waiting for a plane. I don't like flying. And I searched corgi puppies in Halloween costumes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Everything
and
was better.
That's
Everything
the
was better.
What yeah. was a good, like, I think dog costumes always look good. Is there one that actually suited a corgi specifically that you're like, only a corgi could pull this one off?
Yeah. So there's this like genetic mutation of corgis that have really fluffy fur.
Uh-huh.
And there was a fluffy corgi wearing a lion's mane. And it was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Oh.
That was exactly my reaction.
The verbal description is enough to get my heart fluttering.
Yeah, it was, you know, you can't be stressed when you're looking at a puppy, fluffy corgi.
Unless you're one of these people who, like, doesn't like dogs. Because there are people who are like, you know, honestly, like, that. I've been around people who, you know, like, videos go viral. They're like, have you seen the one with, like, the dog and, like, the cat or blah, blah, blah. And they're like, this does nothing for me.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with those people.
I worry about them.
Yeah. You need love in your heart.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? That's what I say. That's what I would diagnose heart without love.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, fantastic.
I think those lion costumes are cruel.
Oh,
to dogs.
Whoa.
No. Why is that? Because they have to be a different species?
My dog just hated it when I put it on him.
Was it the one that's like the hood?
Shaking his head.
Full
yeah,
on hood?
It's just like a hood. Yeah, you just give him a lion's mane.
This was more of like a necklace.
Oh,
sorts?
Like a neck muffler?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what it was. He's just very... he doesn't like
he's
to strong-willed.
Be told
what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably has a different spirit animal that he was wishing you would dress him up as.
That's probably
he's
true.
He's a King Charles.
Yes.
Cavalier, so I think very regal attitude.
His spirit animal is a British king.
Spirit animals are problematic.
Right. His... Whatever. His... he is possessed by the spirit of a British king.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
So that's what you should address him as.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. Anthony on Queer Eye. He's the food guy.
Okay.
I have strong opinions. He's on a book tour right now, so he's like back in the news, even though there's not a new season coming out or whatever. He's supposed to be the food guy.
Right.
I watched an episode last week where he was like, I think you should make rotisserie chicken. And he drove the guy to Safeway, and they bought a rotisserie chicken.
I'm so... Okay. Wait.
He's supposed to be teaching them to cook.
How to cook, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be teaching them how to cook.
Not to cheat.
And he's like, go to Safeway and buy a rotisserie chicken and then serve rotisserie chicken. Like, that's fine.
I thought you were just going to say it should have been Costco, because Costco does have the best rotisserie chicken.
That is something.
That is also another strike.
Or Boston Market.
Yep, yep. He could have gone anywhere else. But
that's so odd, right? Because normally they're trying to give people skills to benefit themselves.
Yeah.
Do you think he just thought this subject was...
I can't even with you?
Yeah, it was just sort of like, you're a mess, and you know, the best you can do is just drive somewhere and buy something.
But he does that for everyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
Like, that's just one of so many examples. Like,
a lot of shortcuts?
There was one where he was like, it's a crostini. It was a piece of toast.
Right.
Like, you cut a piece of bread and put it in the toaster. That's not really, like, revolutionary cooking.
I'm sure if you serve that to him, he would fucking read you for filth.
I think so.
Like, what, really? CVS rotisserie chickens? That's how we're doing it?
Yeah, and everyone gets upset about him because he put like sour cream or yogurt in guacamole once, and everyone was like, you don't do that, blah, blah, blah. But at least he was cooking when he did that.
Right. Like combining ingredients, not just whatever's ready-made at the store.
Right, like I would literally expect him to be like, here's how you make guacamole, drive to Chipotle.
Right.
Right. That is at least a realistic, like I will never remember any recipe that I see on TV, but I will remember
where to buy a thing. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So maybe he's really going after an audience like you.
Yeah, just like the completely hopeless, uncooking.
Uncookable.
Dum-dum. Okay, all right. You've been read, Anthony. what is something you think is underrated?
Continuing on the food theme. Good food at airports.
Oh, wow.
There is nothing better than being like, ugh, I have to eat it at an airport. It's going to be like, this happened at breakfast this morning. It's going to be like a gross yogurt parfait with that gross candied fruit or whatever.
Yep.
And then I found a place that had gluten-free everything bagels toasted with cream cheese.
Mm.
And what airport were you flying out of?
SFO.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And my day turned around, and it was just such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, because you already do. You either resign yourself to the fact that I will eat trash or I will eat overpriced trash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's trash either way, and it's overpriced either way.
Yeah, and it was overpriced good food, but it was good food.
But at least it's good, right?
Yeah.
Usually it's like, well, I guess I can eat a 14-hour-old baguette sandwich for $19.
Exactly.
I like whenever I fly through Houston, I always eat at Papa Dough in the fucking terminal. There's just, I will sit down for a meal there every time.
What is Papa Dough?
Oh, it's part of like a larger chain, like a family of restaurants, but this one is more like Cajun Southern food oriented.
Huh.
And it's delicious. They have this thing called Pontchartrain sauce, and then it comes on other things. Look, just if you're at the Houston airport, give Papa Dough a try. And I actually should at one point get out of the Houston airport and maybe experience Houston itself.
You just stay there the whole time you're in Houston, right?
Just love, love the airport.
Week-long vacation, stay in the airport.
Do a little bit of a terminal-type vibe in there.
People just think that you're, like, sleeping on the benches because you have a flight coming up or something like that.
I'm there for the Papa Dough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That you have to be rich to donate money to charity.
Mm.
Go on.
So there's this idea, and it's kind of the outdated model of philanthropy.
Right.
Where, you know, you write a huge check at the end of the year and you do it for tax benefits and, you know, you have to kind of accumulate all of this wealth before you can give it away. First of all, Trump's tax changes made it so that you can't really write off donations to charity anyway.
Uh-huh.
So that's out the window. But the other piece is that a huge part of donating money to charity is getting in the habit of looking at what you have and sharing it with others in a way that you can.
Mm.
So you don't have to be Bill and Melinda Gates and donate millions of dollars to charity.
Right.
You can say like, hey, this is a cause I'm going to really care about, that I really care about. I'm going to donate, you know, $5 a month. That maybe isn't going to change the world, but then I'm going to tell all my friends that I'm donating $5 a month to this cause, and then they're going to donate to the causes they care about. And that, you know, continues rolling. And then all of a sudden, if everyone donates $5 a month, I'm not going to do the math in my head, but it's probably up there with Bill and Melinda Gates.
Right.
Oh, easily. Triple that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other piece of it is like getting in the habit, right? So if you wait your whole life to donate in like a, you know, when I die, give everything
I own
to a charity, then you're not really in the habit of donating. You don't really know like what causes do I care most about? Where does my money go when I donate to charity? So getting in the habit as you're starting to think about building up your savings account or starting to invest in stocks, like the third arm of that should be adding, you know, philanthropy into the mix.
Absolutely. Mm. I think I'm definitely before I was like in the mode of being able to find causes to give to, I had this very outdated idea of, well, what's 10? I can't give just 10 bucks. Like, right. I just can't give this or whatever. Like, I want to be able to give like $100. So I'll wait, put some money together and then do that versus like, yeah, I it's like the same way you could just be like, you got a couple bucks for some coffee.
Totally.
Or whatever. Right. You can also just, you know, send a few dollars out at a time and you're still actually contributing in a way that is meaningful. But I think we have this sort of weird idea that, you know, someone giving a $1 million donation, it, if you're not doing that, then it's not worth it.
Right. And we're seeing too, people really want to give, like, especially in the crazy 24-hour news cycle, people are reacting to things and wanting to give.
Right.
And one piece that's really interesting is Facebook came out a few weeks ago, and I have a lot of issues with how Facebook runs their fundraisers that I won't get into, but Facebook fundraisers has raised a total of $2 billion, and $1 billion of that, that's billion with a B, $1 billion of that is from birthday fundraisers, and like I've donated to birthday fundraisers, and it is rarely more than $10. Like it's really like, oh, I like this person, this cause seems legit, like here's 10 bucks.
Right.
And that adds up.
Damn.
To a ton. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So what we're doing is instead of the Facebook model where you just like randomly say, I'm going to donate $10 or whatever, and it's based on how you feel or, you know, how whether you got paid that day, what we're doing is we're saying every time you swipe your credit card, we're going to round up your transactions, put all that spare change into a donation pool. You get to say where it goes. You can pick any nonprofit in the country. So it can be like the food bank in the tiny town you grew up in, or it could be
for like races or something.
Totally.
Donate to stuff that's going on at the border, right?
Yeah. So it's any registered nonprofit in the country. Donate all your spare change. Every week we process a donation, and we're building in ways that you can share fundraisers with your friends, and you can start communicating with the nonprofits helping the causes you care about.
Damn.
And it ties into your like credit card?
Yeah. So it's okay. All super secure. There's like third party API fancy stuff that makes it so that we never see your credit card number. There's no way that I could say like, oh, I'm just going to go spend money on your credit card.
Let me look in our user database.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not doable at all. Super secure. It's the same technology that a lot of like the really big financial apps use.
Right.
That's really cool.
Well, I think, yeah, and that's such an easy way, too, where you're not even have to be very conscious. We're like, we're just going to round up or whatever. So, yeah, all those little rounding up will add up.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. That used to be like tip jar money that people would give back when cash was a thing.
Now. Before we got, and made it hard for people who don't have credit cards, too.
I don't know where all the change that I ever had growing up went, but like I think at a certain point, I became responsible enough to start saving it up and go to a Coinstar. But for most of my life, I think that was just like donations to people's couches. Like it just ended up in people's couches.
I haven't made it to the Coinstar part of adulthood yet. I still have like a jar in my apartment.
There you go.
Well, there you go. One I mean, day. That's it. The jar is the responsible thing.
Oh, yeah. And if you start dividing it.
Right.
Woo! My mom got me in that habit as a kid where I was like, here's my quarter jar. My nickel jar.
Oh.
The quarter, man, when I filled that motherfucker up, I was like, we're making it a blockbuster night, motherfucker. Best believe that shit.
Right. All right. Well, let's talk about someone who likes to give back, and that someone is the president of these United States. Donald Trump loves to give back to himself. And so a big story that I saw all over the place on the right was that there was this photograph of Biden, his son, and two Ukrainian gas executives on a golf course, and they were like, oh, we thought you weren't
There was one guy. There's one guy who just sadly doesn't even get a label. It was like,
well, no,
Joe
they
Biden
started labeling both of them.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
As both Ukrainian gas executives?
I saw versions that were both Ukrainian gas executives.
Well, according to the if we're going by canon, the Cannon, Nickelback Cannon. Meme, when we looked at that photograph, as he asked us to. Yeah, that guy, it turns out, is not Ukrainian. He's American. And gas exec might be a bit of a stretch. Because that guy is named Devin Archer, and he is
sounds Ukrainian.
Yeah,
Devin,
notorious
Archer.
Ukrainian oligarch Devin Archer.
Right.
And you know, he used to like, he's like business buddies with Hunter Biden, like from all kinds of shit. So like, that's like a photo of like them just golfing,
right?
Rather than, you know, trying to mislead people to being like, this is what they do. You know how these people move. They close deals on golf courses, and that's the that's where the Illuminati really lives between these links. And, you know, the things that are true is that he was part of the Bersema company's board, like along with Hunter Biden. But
Devin Archer and Devin Hunter Archer, Biden.
Yes. Yeah. But like to say he was a gas executive is definitely misleading, because like he has really nothing much to do with like the day-to-day operations.
Right. And the fact that neither of them probably have much background in, you know, Ukrainian gas companies or, you know, managing Ukrainian energy markets is part of what's sleazy about the whole thing.
It's just nepotism.
That position.
Yeah.
But it's just nepotism, and it's not great, and it's a system that, you know, we're trying to have overthrown, which is why we don't want Joe Biden to win the nomination necessarily. But it's also not the thing that Trump is trying to make it out to be.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's also coming from the king of nepotism.
Right. Yeah. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I mean, he is being we have a couple stories later, both about like the fact that Trump and, first of all, Trump himself, like, inherited millions of dollars by the time he was five. But also his kids are doing, like, way more corrupt shit that is probably technically illegal when it comes to, you know, profiting off of the presidency of the United States. But he's just spending a ton of money on, you know, Facebook campaigns and just getting the message out that, you know, just going on the counteroffensive, and because he has way more money to spend and is way more aggressive about spending it on Facebook, and for some reason is better at Facebook than Democrats, I think it's kind of gaining traction, this idea. Like, I guarantee if you asked most people 2 months from now, like in the middle of the country, like about the Ukraine thing, they would be like, well, there was that photograph with, you know,
maybe.
I think that's going to stick.
I mean, shit, again, look, more shit even came out, and it's only making things worse. So maybe there will be a dip if like the sort of enthusiasm begins to sort of falter a little bit, but I don't know. I kind of, like most people, are hoping that maybe this is something logical enough and clear enough for people to just be like, maybe this is bad.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, how to bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate. Whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier, Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, It's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out What's New on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and it's time to blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle. The whistleblower saga fucking continues.
But I think it ended, right? I mean, these texts should seal it.
Yeah, I mean, God, the even more damning fucking evidence comes out.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of last week, Kurt Volker, who was the special envoy to Ukraine, testified in front of the Congress to talk about what was going on between the State Department and Ukraine and Rudy Giuliani and everyone's hand in that. And this one of the biggest things is that he handed over these text messages that were between him and this other person who is the ambassador to the EU and Rudy Giuliani. And essentially, it completely nullifies their defense that there was no quid pro quo. Like, it's very clear through these text messages what the fucking deal was. And it was essentially, you will not get any aid or a visit to the White House to visually strengthen our ties and our alliance unless Ukraine publicly announces an investigation into the 2016 election so they can have a, you know, counter Mueller report type thing, and into Burisma, which is the whole Biden son deal.
Right.
And like the text,
so the whole quid pro quo, like that was their defense. Like, well, he didn't explicitly say this Biden thing, I will give you aid if you do, like,
right.
It wasn't made that explicit in the memo that is, like, supposed to be a transcript of that call. And so they were like, yeah, we're good then.
Well, this text from Kurt Volker to Zelensky's, like, top aide, right before, you know, the call that everything is centered around, so preparing him for this phone call, this envoy to Ukraine from the U.S. government says, This is the text he sends to President Zelensky's aide. Quote, heard from White House, assuming President Z convinces Trump he will investigate / and then he uses like quotes, quote, get to the bottom of what happened in 2016, end quote, we will nail down a date for a visit to Washington.
Mm. So access to the president in exchange for politically expedient research.
Yeah. It's even like put in quotes in the text just shows you what the fuck they're talking. Like this whole idea of like, because there was a lot of back and forth where they're like, we're not really sure if we want to do this. There was a aide to Zelensky even pushed back to this envoy to the EU and Volker basically saying like, Zelensky is very concerned that he's just going to be an instrument of a political fight in the US and doesn't want to be used in that. Like he's just not interested in that. And they were pushing back like, well, you know, we got to establish these relationships.
Right.
And then we'll figure it out. Like it was very much not even close to remotely understanding like how conflicted and awful this could be.
Yeah. And I mean, they specifically wrote a statement for them to make that was, we intend to initiate and complete a transparent and unbiased investigation of all available facts and episodes, including those involving Burisma and the 2016 U.S. elections. Like, they said that that had to specifically be in their statement in order for them to get the access that they were seeking. So it's, I mean, so they're specifically bringing up the Biden thing.
Well, yeah. At first, the Ukrainian officials were saying, can we just give a statement that says we're committed to investigating corruption and weeding out corruption in the government? And Giuliani, to even those guys from the State Department, was like, absolutely not. Like, they need to specifically.
Here, let me put my hand all the way up your ass and puppet you.
Right. No.
So that you're saying exactly what I need you to say.
Hi, read this text out loud on TV now. Exactly. Go. And then you can get your defense weapons to fight Russia.
I believe that's a hostage video is what that's they're technically looking for there.
But I mean, this is now also part of like why Trump is just even out there in the open just saying like, well, yeah, I have to look into corruption.
Right.
So every day, it's like this really shitty thing for him, you know, poor Trump, where he's assuming that the press or the general public won't learn another damning detail. So the plan he has right now is fine according to the reality of the situation as it happens. And then a new detail comes out and then he has to further change his position. So now it's just going to be like, yeah, it's I'm looking into corruption. I think it's important.
Yeah.
I'm the president.
He's like, I made up this corruption. And now I'm going to go look into it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, which is crazy. You know, I got to look into it, though. You know, I'd be completely remiss if I were not to.
But I mean, I read the transcript of what Rush Limbaugh is saying on his show right now. Mm-hmm. And he's just totally buying everything and being like, this is why you got to love Trump. He totally doubles down and is like, you know, you, the mainstream media, don't want to believe or like won't report on the corruption around Biden. So I have to report it directly to the TV cameras. And like, I'm pure as the driven snow because I made all my own money. And but these people are all, you know, making their children billionaires by or millionaires by, you know, doing corrupt dealings like this. Like that's how it's being taken elsewhere in the country.
Well, that's the only way to defend against this. Again, if you're committed a crime and you're trying to say you're innocent, if you're the first thing out of your mouth is, well, what about this thing?
Right.
That's not a defense.
Right.
That's you're just trying to distract people from your own wrongdoing and saying like, well, I mean, I guess it's normal because what about this guy? So
yeah.
Are we sure we're calling those crimes?
Right.
It's crimes.
So meanwhile, Ukraine like is kind of in a weird no man's land because they're like, wait, so we do need to investigate them though, because like we still want the weapons, like we still want the access to the levers of power. So,
well, the aid has already been, you know, signed off on.
Right.
September 11th, but they got it. But
right,
I think
future aid and just.
Well, this is the thing though. Zelensky had already said that he is going to you know, go to the negotiating table with Russia to try and end the invasion or the war that's happening in Crimea.
Right.
So at a certain level, his long view is that, well, I won't need these defense weapons because I'm just going to capitulate, allow this like weird puppet state to be carved out of Ukraine and just keep things moving. But I guess this is where what's interesting, because now the Ukrainian government has said they are going to look into this gas company.
Yeah.
They said the prosecutor general, Ruslan Ryaboshapka, who's like the new prosecutor general, said.
Was that the name of the guy in the golf video?
No.
Oh,
it
no,
was
no.
Devin Archer.
Oh, my bad. I get those two confused.
He said he's looking to review 15 cases in all, including high profile investigations of wealthy Ukrainians, among them the owner of the natural gas company, Burisma Holdings. So it's not even into necessarily the company. It's like the Ukrainian owner of it.
Right.
So it's weird. I don't know, on one level, right? Because I think if you're thinking of it like as this triangle between Ukraine, Russia, and the United States, it would almost make sense if there was now pressure from Russia for Ukraine to like actually do this investigation, because then that would help Trump like at least legitimize his actions. Because in the end of the day, Putin does need Trump in office for anything remotely positive in terms of their agenda to occur.
Yeah. And also just in general, he likes to see the Western world suffer and be torn down and lose influence and lose power. And the greatest success of his entire career in terms of accomplishing that has been the election of Donald Trump.
Right.
So
You have to wonder if this will play into those Russian negotiations, right? With Zelensky. Like, if Zelensky makes Trump happy, Trump will tell Putin to make Zelensky happy.
Right. Yeah. And again, that's what's – and we'll see what this whole, these negotiations go, like where they go, and ultimately if they do lead to the easing of sanctions on Russia, because that's really always the thing that Russia wants. Mm-hmm. Like, out of anything, it has always been, please relieve the sanctions because our economy is suffering. And people keep pointing the finger at me, Vladimir Putin, for what's going on.
But, we've talked about from the start that it is shady that Hunter Biden got a $50,000 a month position working for a Ukrainian gas company when he didn't really have the necessary background. It was probably, trying to buy influence with Biden, and that's shady as fuck. And, even Donald Trump's own sons went on Fox News to complain about just how shady all this shit was, like how Biden and Hunter were like in running this scam. So I thought it might be a good time to raise all the corrupt shit that this president and his family has been able to get away with. Like asking people to stay at all their resorts, sending his kids to India to close these big like real estate deals.
There are foreign governments who are just buying blocks of rooms up at Trump hotels and not staying there.
Right. It's just incredible. And there's this article in Vox that's titled "Irony is Dead. The Trump Sons Are Doing Everything Possible to Make Corruption a Major 2020 Issue." And then subhead, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump really should sit this Hunter Biden thing out. In Vox, we will link off to it in the footnotes. But it says, since Trump was inaugurated, Don Jr. and Eric have been responsible for the Trump Organization, about 500 business entities, and according to Trump, generates about $9.5 billion in revenue. And they haven't stopped doing that at all. Forbes reported that Eric and Don Jr. have sold more than $100 million of the family's real estate since the inauguration, including a $3.2 million deal in the Dominican Republic last year that they said is, quote, the clearest violation of their father's pledge to do no new foreign deals while in office. So, I mean, he's just continuing.
It's a pledge, man. It was a pledge, okay? Right. It wasn't a fucking legally binding thing, okay? It's just a thing. As far as I know, pledge is a surface cleaner.
Right.
So, do with that what
you want. The Trump International Hotel generates $41 million in income last year alone for Trump.
Yeah, well, again, I don't understand why they are so fucking focused on this specific dimension of like a hit job of corruption when they have no fucking place to even point the finger in that direction.
Right.
And they're really hedging their bets where they're like, it's going to be Joe Biden.
Right.
We're going to be running against Joe Biden. Let's just fucking triple down on this strategy of just trying to be like Joe Biden corrupt, because then we can make it a binary choice between like, what version of corruption do you want?
Right.
And they could have put literally anyone else up there to talk about the fact that this is all nepotism, but they chose Don Jr.
Right. Exactly. Like, oh, me? Yeah. I mean, but it's bad. I'm Don Jr. and I'm clearly benefiting from all of this.
Yes.
And we'll see. I mean,
the fact that they brought up China is really galling because the New York Times detailed in August a $1.7 billion Trump Organization project in Indonesia received a $500 billion infusion from a state-owned Chinese construction company.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Ivanka's getting all those trademarks in China.
Ivanka's getting all the trademarks that she's been looking for a while. Jared Kushner is getting bailed out from Qatar for his, horrible real estate.
Was it 666 Fifth Avenue?
Yep.
Great, great address.
Yeah.
And also that's where Rudy Giuliani always goes to smoke cigars and rant and rave about his new podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney's out here making good points. He said, when the only American citizen President Trump singles out for China's investigation is his political opponent in the midst of the Democratic nomination process, it strains credulity to suggest that it is anything other than politically motivated.
Okay. So you're going to impeach him?
Yeah.
This is the thing, man. Like, they can keep talking all this shit about, do the Susan Collins thing where it's very disappointing or very alarming or disturbing. But, come on then. Don't just get the fucking quotes out there so you can just say something to maybe buy yourself 5 seconds. Like, you know, hopefully this dam will break. A lot of people suspect, though, too, that once the Republicans turn on him, it'll all happen at once. It's not going to be like one person, then another person. It's going to be like, okay, execute, you know, Operation Abandon Orange Fuck.
Abandon Orange Fuck. Well, so he's actually profiting off of this. Our writer, J.M. McNabb, pointed out that he's using his own impeachment to basically spend more money and raise more money than he has since his campaign was like officially launched. His Facebook page ran nearly 2,000 ads to solicit donations after since the Democrats announced official impeachment proceedings. He's asking his supporters to join his, quote, official impeachment defense task force.
What do they get? A fucking free badge, a plastic badge and a hat?
Yeah, basically. Wait, probably.
Oh, God. His anti-impeachment task force also seems like a euphemism for like some insurgent, like armed militia.
Right.
It's like, you should join the anti-impeachment task force.
But he totally thinks this is like a huge opportunity for him. Somebody was pointing out that he spent as much as $3 million on Facebook ads railing against impeachment and criticizing Democrats. Conversely, only about $703,000 was spent on pro-impeachment ads. So, he's going to dominate Facebook with his messaging.
Well, I'm curious to know how much of that, like who that audience is, if it's just to keep his base in line, if they're enough of independents on there that those ads are getting to that it could affect them.
Facebook is an incredible marketing machine. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, you can get to anyone.
Yeah, it's better. Like, it's better than any form of marketing we'd had prior to its existence.
It's like, I'm looking for half Korean women who grew up in the Midwest, and are left-handed and love basketball.
With that $3 million of spending, he made back $8.5 million in just 2 days and got 50,000 new donors. And that's the thing. Like, it's new donors that he's adding to his list.
He's getting the people, too, who would be on the fence when all the other Republicans come out and say, we're against this guy.
Right.
He's now built this anti-impeachment militia, and they all have their badges, and they're going to come and say, like, now we hate Mitt Romney. Now we hate all the other Republicans, and we're our third party, and we're going to reelect Trump.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be interesting. Like, at what point, and we were talking about that last week, it's sort of like, what does that look like if they do try and jettison Trump off of the ship that is known as the GOP? Like, are they really just creating another third party that they're going to have to fight? Is it going to just, and is that going to completely split the votes, that conservative ideology is just going to have a real hard time reestablishing itself over time? But
I mean, that would be ideal.
That's ideal. But
I feel like, more, it's just going to be that new party, whatever it is, that follows Trump is going to be the real powerful party, because it's just appealing to everybody's most base, you know, hateful ideals. So,
I mean, the merch, though, coming out of the Trump store is really quite beautiful. You know, someone who really enjoys fine art.
Yeah.
This poster that he's selling, the Donald J. Trump limited edition, what they call fucking fine art poster.
Yeah.
And it's him doing a fucking like Superman through the air flying pose. It's like a really terrible illustration with his seismograph autograph on there.
That's terrifying.
$24 for that fine art for $24. That's, you know, I like that he's democratizing fine art.
Yeah. I mean, you say terrifying, I say inspiring. And the other way they're spending that $8 million that they made is on TV ads, spreading the Joe Biden and Ukraine conspiracy theory.
I know they, CNN, like, refused to air it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Which they should.
Facebook is not refusing to run these ads. They could.
They're not going
to
say no. When you look at why Facebook fucking sucks and why Mark Zuckerberg is a fucking loser.
Right.
Like, being open to, like, yeah, dude, I fucking love money, that I'm just so down to, like, gaslight people, like, with these really misleading ads, because, you know, it's a fucking $8 million spend.
Yeah.
And he actually said, like, we put politicians through a different approval process than your everyday advertiser.
Right.
It's
like, they can say what they want.
God, please.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some, like, validity to, like, probably, you know, holding political speech sacred, but that you gotta at a certain point put your foot down and not let people. You know,
these are just lies.
Tell lies, just lies. And, you know,
it's just as dangerous as like climate change denial, because the effects of that are people are not paying attention to a crisis that is an existential threat to humanity.
Right.
And this is a crisis and an existential threat to our, you know, representative democracy.
Yeah.
And to just be like, yeah, yeah, fine. You know, fuck it. Just be like this thing that everyone has said has been widely debunked across just like across everywhere. We're going to still present that as fact to you.
Yeah.
Because we're spending enough money.
So, I mean, I think that's a fairly good summary of like where we were coming out of last week, right? Like it's, you know, the facts that are coming out are really bad for Trump. Trump is just using his, you know, giant social media imprint and huge, the fact that he has like more money than any presidential campaign ever to blast out lies, and they're sort of, you know, equaling each other out with slight movement and towards, you know, people favoring impeachment. But in terms of where this thing could be headed, one of the questions I'm very interested in is what else is in that vault, that secret server thing where they were holding this transcript and apparently other transcripts of calls that the president had that were potentially damaging.
Meetings, everything. Like anything that they're like, we have to keep this secret. So that's conversations with Putin, conversations with Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia. Like those are things on there. And we also found out recently there was a conversation that Trump had with Chinese President Xi Jinping that was saying, as they were like, look, this deal was, I'll shut the fuck about Hong Kong as long as we keep these trade talks going. Because, like, I need to figure out, like, he needs a win. So he's trading money or the optics of a win in the economy for people who are trying to fight for their own democracy.
Yeah.
Or some semblance of a democracy, whatever it ends up being in Hong Kong. But it's, you know, when you consider how much normally the stance of the United States is like, we like to try and hold China sometimes-ish. At least we would say something about human rights violations, not necessarily always do something about it.
Right.
But this is just sort of like, hi, here's the deal. I'll fucking, you know, I'm not going to make it hot for you.
Look, man, I'll suck your dick.
I'll suck your dick, please, man. Just
fucking, need a win.
I just need a win. So again, it's when you look at how willing he is to reverse course on all kinds of established policies and norms for this government, you can only imagine what some of these other calls are. And if this is, you know, shit's still leaking out somehow.
I have to believe Hillary's emails are in that vault too.
Right.
Like just so he can continue to say that Hillary's emails are hidden in a vault somewhere.
In Ukraine, I think. It was like his other thing too. Is like, well, what about that DNC server in Ukraine? And they're like, what? What?
That was the DNC server that Russia hacked, but that was actually hacked by Ukrainians.
Therefore.
Right. And they're hiding the evidence somewhere in a vault in Ukraine. Except we know where that server is.
Yeah.
We have it somewhere in D.C.
You know, it's violent flailing.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where things go from here. The foreign ministry in China came out and was like, you guys solve that shit yourself. We're sure America can handle their own.
Oh, problem. The Biden thing.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Like, yeah, guys, go fuck yourselves.
Well, and, you know,
keep us out of this.
By tomorrow, there'll be fucking 800 other things to
keep my name out.
Sift through.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
And we're back, and while we're on the subject of the People's Republic of China, did anybody see the 70-year anniversary parade last week?
Good?
Oh, man, one of my favorite parades.
How were they dressed? What was the red carpet like?
was Snoopy there, like in Macy's Day Parade?
Unfortunately not.
Was Winnie the Pooh?
A lot of enormous, like, globe-destroying missiles. I could have used fewer of those and more Snoopy.
Oh, it's just a big dick measuring parade?
Yeah.
And how big is it?
Huge.
Oh, it's huge?
There were also some weapons that I had never seen outside of a G.I. Joe toy box. Like, there was like a little like motorcycle helicopter thing. It was like a two-seater little helicopter that didn't, like, you weren't inside
a cockpit,
anything.
Right.
Yeah, like you were just like in an open helicopter thing. It was kind of dope.
That sounds awesome. I think the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade could use those.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a little, I mean, I could use those. Just like a little like golf cart helicopter. You could just be like, wee, take off.
That's it. Sounds like a disaster waiting to happen, but I'm here for it.
I think Elon Musk is coming out with one
right
next week.
Yeah, exactly. Flamethrowers and personal helicopters.
It's powered by weed, you know, because we smoke weed now.
There's also a slingshot hypersonic unmanned aircraft that looks like a stealth bomber, but like in hang glider size, and it's designed to help aim weapons at U.S. aircraft carriers. So,
wait, what do you mean?
Like it's like, just that's. Like, people looked at it and were like, oh, so we understand what this does, and it's specifically designed to fight a war with us, with the United States.
Oh, like, considering our naval technology.
Yes.
Great.
And the other thing they said is that all the missile names are all written on the side of the weapons in English, and the Jalopnik editor, who was kind of summarizing this, was pointing out that that's because the real audience for the parade is us. The Daily Zeitgeist.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well, so, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Joker, as we're recording this, appears ready to break a bunch of box office records while you're listening to it, probably already has. And super producer Anna Hosnier was actually at a movie theater last night, so we're going to bring her in. But you were saying that it had sort of a different vibe than a movie going experience.
Was
like
it cheery?
You didn't see Joker, right? You
Hustlers!
You saw...
Wait, what about Joker?
Why didn't you see Joker,
Why
bro?
Didn't you see Joker, dog?
Come on.
What are you, anti-comedy?
I thought you were a serious film goer. No, Hustlers is really good, right?
Yeah.
But you were saying that there was like a palpable police presence at the movie theater?
I didn't say police presence. I said there were security guards around.
Well, so what did they look like? Just dudes in polo shirts that said security on the back looking on their phones, disinterested?
There was one on his phone looking disinterested.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I know security guards.
So I was looking at him, I was like, wow, they let you carry your phones, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Shout out to Pro Staff.
Yeah, no, they were walking. Well, one, the parking lot was packed and the theater was packed. And I was like, wow, Hustlers is going to be really great if all these people
Oh, but it was for everyone for Joker?
I guess so, because that's the big movie that was out, unless they were came for the Goldfinch.
I don't think nobody did.
Nobody came for the Goldfinch.
But yeah, but they had security guards patrolling outside and in the theater.
Damn.
Oh, like up in it, like even in Hustlers?
No. Like in the out, not like in a movie theater, but like in the building.
And they're just like walking down the aisles, like, what y'all doing over there?
Yeah.
Just standing under the screen with their arms crossed, just looking out at the
audience. Well, I don't know if you guys remember during when Straight Outta Compton came out, they had security guards sitting in the theaters with people.
Of course.
Oh, right.
Because, you know.
Yeah, because there's such a rich history of hip hop fans doing that shit. Okay.
Yeah, so there was definitely security walking around. It didn't look like they were ready to take action if something happened, but, I mean, they were there.
I guess, I mean, just probably just as much for people who are the patrons of the theater to feel safe.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, I wasn't personally concerned because I live in, like, a lower-income area, and I was like, they're not coming for us. They're coming for the whites if they really want to, you know? Like, I didn't really...
I haven't read one good review of it. And I don't know if that's because of all of the commotion about it and Todd Phillips just like shooting off at the mouth and all these other things that it just sort of poisoned the well so no one could watch it and feel good about it. But I've not, like, the headlines have been like, it's one terrible note played over and over again, or like, it's the worst thing I don't give a fuck about.
Right. Yeah. I'm still going to probably see it because
I'm curious
what people were so into in Venice.
I don't know. They're like the angsty, young, angry guy.
Are you just looking at me and describing me
right now? I
don't know.
The story of the angry, young. Like,
oh,
the,
shit,
not, I don't know. He's not young, right? Because he's like...
He's like old like me.
But he's like middle-aged. I'm not fully sure like what they're trying to portray him as. But I don't... that story is so boring to me. It's like, oh, no, you're angry.
Yeah.
And you could watch 50-year-old J-Lo...
Yeah,
be the hottest stripper of all time instead.
Right.
That's a more interesting story. I'm like, I've seen the angry dude who's unhappy, and it's almost every Joaquin Phoenix movie, but like, I've seen that story so much, it's not interesting to me. I'm like, yeah, oh no.
Right.
But then it's like, ooh, a story of some strippers who hustle some Wall Street guys out of money because that's just more interesting. And
I'm sure actually defy physics as she looks that good.
Are you jealous?
What? No, I look so young.
No, I could probably look like that too if I really
could,
tried.
But
so.
Like, I don't. It's not one of my priorities. So
I wake up every day hoping that I look like a young 50.
Yeah,
that's right.
As a 29-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. There is just something with people's fascination with this specific character. But
is this
his
origin story?
Yeah, I guess the first origin story that. Specifically all about
I don't
that.
Really understand the timelines of these films.
Doesn't really, because it's all just like one universe and they just hop around. It's like
wouldn't he be like much younger when he decided to become the Joker? Or is it the actual I don't know the story very well. Is it that he became the Joker late in life?
I haven't.
It's different.
I don't know.
Time.
I think it probably, it's up to the writer at that point, like how they want to
so there's
portray
it. Nothing's based in fact.
I mean, in the Tim Burton. Tim Robinson. I want to see the Tim Robinson Batman, but the Tim Burton Batman, he didn't become Joker until he was in his 60s.
And that was Nicholson, right?
Yeah,
right.
Nicholson.
Yeah, I don't get it. Because
he
fell
in a vat of acid.
Right.
Oh, so that's not the same origin story of like, I've decided that no one likes my comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
That is different. And Heath Ledger's
What's the original story?
Heath Ledger's Joker, like... sort of frustrated the desire to have an origin story by like giving you a different explanation for how his face got scarred up. Like one of them,
right,
was
but we don't see his actual him becoming, he's already the Joker.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, see, that's the beauty of this intellectual property. You can rinse and reuse and mm-hmm. make it seem like a different thing every
right,
time.
But there is an original comic book that is the official origin.
No. Well, I guess the first origin story was when he was, like, not the Joker in Red Hood.
Right.
In, like, the 50s, when that was, like, the first technical appearance of this character.
So why should I respect any of this if there's
no, you made the right choice. Original. Go hang with J-Lo and Lizzo.
But I do think that's one of the things that's cool about comic book movies is you can, like, endlessly go back and retell a story in a different way. Like,
right.
I don't think that that's... That doesn't bother me about them. It just
that's the one thing I don't like. It's like it's just never ending. It's like what's the true story here? What's
right.
the
you're
fact?
Like what's the truth?
Yeah, I
is it a vat of chemicals or he's an incel comic?
That's why it's like yes, exactly.
Like what? How did you get here?
Where did we decide this was? This isn't what it is. That's what my problem with the Spider-Man movies is. There's too many, and they all have like a weird concept going on, and I don't understand what's real.
That started frustrating me with. I think Spider-Man was the one place that frustrated me because it felt like they all could be the same movie. Like there weren't that many differences about like the origin story. It was just like a different like dude in high school, but until Into the Spider-Verse.
But in his first appearance, he does fall into a vat of chemicals. The very first appearance.
Okay, so that's the original concept.
It wasn't a bad comedy career.
Okay.
But that's why I know these movies start getting you to question. I thought he was a guy who had chemical burns.
But as we've talked about with Miles's friend, like that is a very real like type of pathos that people deal with, like the dude, the failed comedian, like being somebody who like ends up metastasizes into like anger, and it like it is a form of like I do.
Oh,
think
are you talking about the guy who I went to high school with, who's dressing up like the Joker?
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about that on the show?
Yeah, we did. And I actually I asked around about him. I think he works in reality TV now.
Hell yeah, he does.
So,
he plays the Joker.
No, maybe.
The reality TV star would be a good comic book villain. Like,
yeah, right.
Like just totally fucked
Paul?
Beyond
no,
recognition
he's not
of.
TV.
I mean,
he's YouTube.
He's a
plastic
villain.
Surgery.
That's better. The like, YouTube, the evil YouTube
oh,
star.
Oh yeah, YouTube social experiment prankster is like the Joker.
Oh shit!
Yes.
It's just racism and murder, but he calls them pranks and social experiments
and like offensive videos and.
Oh wait, that guy
people,
actually exists
like,
on YouTube.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I guess he is the Joker, Jake. Is it Jake or what's
Jaker.
The other one?
He's the Jaker.
Logan.
Paul? Loco.
I don't know what they are.
It's all Jaker and Loco, dude.
Jaker and Loco, the original Jokers.
No, well, there's this one like prank guy, quote prank guy, who like goes and like picks fights with black people and then is like, oh shit.
It's a prank.
Like,
yeah.
Guess how, look how tight
they would
that
do
was.
That shit. Yeah, yeah, I remember it was like this dude. I think. I forget who he was. It wasn't, there was one guy who's now white. He's Middle Eastern.
Okay.
And he would go around in New York. And like step on people's Jordans and shit, or like,
was that
like
MBS?
Or try and run off with their phone, and then they'd be like, he would literally go like, he's fucking
and
around
he would
in
have
the hood,
it filmed.
Yes, yeah. And these people would beat his ass,
and then
or like
what?
He would get swung. It's like, dude, it was a joke. It was a prank.
It was but pranks.
The
pranks.
Prank would be like, hey man, like, oh, is that like the new phone? And try and snatch it out their hand and run.
Hmm.
And of course, they're going to fucking put their hands on you. But it was really like in the point where. That's like when a lot of people were like, these are not pranks. Like, you're just fucking with people. There's no prank involved because as far as they're concerned, you're stealing from them or trying to half assault them.
The original and only prank show that really should have any respect is Candid Camera.
Candid Camera, but before they did the reveal. Did you ever hear about how the show was like a complete failure and then they started showing the reveal? But before that, it was just like people being fucked with, and everyone was like, this is mean.
I think
like,
I only watched during the reveal era.
Oh, so there was no like relief for the victim of the pranks?
Yeah,
you'd be like,
exactly.
What the fuck? It just ended
just
there?
Seems like a mean social
so
experiment.
She thought her baby was stolen?
Right.
What the fuck? You're like, oh, I love this show.
Right.
I feel like you're underrating Punk'd.
Yeah.
I feel like that was peak.
Well, I think we're all
but it was but
punks.
Yeah.
Well, there's something about punking rich people that's not interesting. I'm like, "Oh no, well you'll be fine."
Well, I think it's really the ones are good is when you can make rich people sweat. Like, oh, just what the was Justin the one Timberlake where the phone, one. He thought the house was burning down or some shit?
Oh, I don't even remember that one.
I think it was just one of those people were like, Justin Timberlake. Was that Timberlake?
Everything was being repossessed.
It also brings out the worst in people.
That's yeah.
Kind of, which is
you
a good thing.
I think that's somebody great. Is a terrible person, right. And then they're like, yeah, I'll sign off, sure.
Yeah. Expose them through pranks.
That's
all right, guys. Sorry. Anna, we have to talk about sour candy, and you're going to stay on mic for this one.
Sour candy.
Sour candies. So there is a story on, I think, The Takeout that you can currently buy 90 Airheads for $7.
They're just always doing ads on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just a good deal.
I mean, I love Airheads. I haven't had one in, you know, probably in 16 years.
That's one of those candies that tastes so good that it would, like, make my jaw hurt from, like,
the,
like, just
the salivation
over.
Or whatever. Yeah, you mean just the jaw joints being overworked?
Yeah.
I remember what an Airhead looks like, but I'm trying to remember how you eat an Airhead.
It was just like a big, it was like a strip.
But is it like
you
chew on it.
Take
okay.
a bite off of that thing.
Chewy.
I couldn't remember if it was like a big lollipop or.
No, just a flap of choo choo. Flap a choo choo. And I remember the white mystery flavor was my favorite one, which I think was just cherry. Ooh. Or like white cherry or something, but they called it mystery. Then there was blue raspberry, and I'm trying to remember what else they sold in, like, the candy store in my junior high.
Purple was great.
There's always purple. Great. One of the worst flavors, I think, just in general. Fake
I
grape.
I loved it.
You like fake? Do you like fake grape in general as a flavor?
No, not anymore. But as a kid, Airhead, though, I loved the fake grape
flavor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was growing up and trick-or-treating, I always felt like I was getting ripped off with anything that wasn't chocolate unless it was a Blow Pop. I think Blow Pops were also like up there.
Because there was at least chewing gum that your parents wouldn't let you normally have.
It was a multiple course meal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for me, Starburst, I was like, miss me with that shit. Like, where's the fucking...
Even though I love Starburst.
I love Starburst, don't get me wrong. But the excitement when I'm ranking, like when I see what's going into the satchel that I'm carrying around, when I trick or treat to this day as a 35-year-old man.
Right.
I really love to have the chocolate.
Right.
You know, the list, there's been lists. A lot of people have been putting out lists. This is a thing people love to do every year around this time, ranking the best or the worst Halloween candies. Candystore.com on their blog set off a list that a lot of people had takes on the best and the worst. I would just like to start off with the worst because I think I agree with many of these. The
Necco
first
wafers.
One, candy corn. I do not like candy corn. I used
to really fuck with candy corn when I was a kid.
Because my sister's favorite food, which I
her
find,
favorite just food
her
in general.
Favorite food is candy corn, and it makes me like not really trust her as a person.
It's weird. What's your experience as you eat candy corn? You're like, I do the thing, and I'm sure I've said this over and over again, where I think somehow this will be the year it tastes different to me.
Right.
And it's not.
I gave up on it like when I was 10.
That's good. Good for you. You're smarter than me. Number two, circus peanuts.
I mean, do people still give out circus peanuts?
I don't know, man.
That's a candy?
They're orange marshmallows that are peanut shaped, and they
Oh, yeah.
I thought those were packing peanuts.
I've been eating those.
No, I just never knew they were.
Those like fake ass like orange. It's like aren't they like orange and pink or whatever? Like they're mixed up in the bag.
Wow, I've never even tried. I had no idea.
Do you put those in your packages?
I guess so.
Yeah, dude. Number three, peanut butter kisses. Yo, hold on. A Reese's peanut butter cup, but given rebirth as a Hershey's Kiss?
I would fuck with that.
That sounds amazing.
That's fine. Who the fuck?
I think Reese's was always like my ultimate, especially if you got one of the pumpkins or like one of the ones that's actually something. Like
okay, money bags. Wow. Didn't have that in my town.
Yeah, that was next level.
Number four, wax Coke bottles. Could not agree more. Like what the, who, those wax candies?
The wax candies, like... In my mind, like they sucked and I never enjoyed them, but like they give me such a specific sensory memory of like childhood because maybe just because I haven't fucked with them since I was
like are the lips, like wax lips.
The wax lips, yeah.
Terrible.
I feel like the sensory memory is like a stomach ache.
Right. Yeah.
Necco wafers, obviously I'm anti Necco wafer. Sorry. It is what it is. Tootsie Rolls.
Nah, I don't fuck with Tootsie Rolls.
I mean, I don't think it deserves worse. Like, I feel like, look, you know.
I think it does because it's such a serial offender. People think they can get away with chocolate.
With the Tootsie Roll?
With a Tootsie Roll. Right, and it's right. Like, that's not chocolate. That's right. Chocolate flavored candy. Or exactly. That's chocolate flavored gum.
It's like when you're, you know, cutting cocaine with other fillers. You're like, hold on, bro. This ain't the real
fruity,
deal.
I prefer Tootsie Rolls than I over chocolate Tootsie Rolls, personally.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, aren't we?
Because they're
cultured.
Like Starbucks.
Number seven, Smarties.
Okay.
I like Smarties.
Now here she is.
Wait, what?
I like Smarties.
They're on the worst list?
Look, that's we're not saying this is based on any kind of facts or we should respect these opinions because I like a Smartie.
I fucking ride or die by Smartie.
I mean, that was the first thing I learned about you was you
I
were the Smartie
love
lady.
Smarties.
Yeah. Yeah, you just rolled in.
I used to go to Iran with so many Smarties that my family members and children or people who are now my age, because we all grew up as that works
In linear
when
time.
I would see them as children, I would give out so many Smarties in Iran that when I come back and visit as I get older, they still be like, you got the Smarties? And I'd be like, no, I have to quit sugar because age doesn't do well.
Yeah,
but damn, Smarties are the best.
I just like
for
the
my
way-
family it's me being into sharks. Do you have that thing that you were that you're like known to your cousins as?
Oh, yeah. My uncle, they would always call me Brazilian.
You're really into Brazil?
Nah,
because
in the 98 World Cup, I would usually be in Japan in the summer. Whenever I wasn't in school, I was basically in Japan. So when World Cups would come around, I was in Japan. And that year, you know, it was the emergence of Ronaldo, R9, the great striker. And ultimately, France won that World Cup, as we all know, Zinedine Zidane with an MVP performance. But yeah, I was so obsessed with this Brazil team that they were like, "Oh, it's the Brazilian." It wasn't a you know, normally Japanese people do like to other half Japanese people, but it wasn't that. It was my devotion to the Brazilian national team, and that actually subsequently set off an intense obsession with Brazilian culture.
Nice.
Love the music. Love the food.
Yeah.
And there's a certain jinga, you know, as they say, magic to it.
There's worse countries to be
and then look,
with.
Just to round out the 10, Licorice, Good and Plenty, and Bit of Honey.
What?
Bit of Honey.
What are those?
Fuck that.
I've heard of Licorice.
I heard of Licorice. Good and Plenty are just like, they're like Licorice.
Aren't
also,
they the
in a
pink
box.
And white ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, pink and white, Licorice flavored, like pills.
Yeah, and then Bit of Honeys are just chewy with a little bit of, I don't know. That's very uninteresting. Okay, now let's get in what they are saying are the tops. Number one, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Smarties.
Number two, Snickies.
Smarties. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll put that up there.
Would you throw your Snickers into the freezer right away, or were you a kid who
I would just leave it.
Did your parents let you eat all your shit that night?
No.
Oh, man.
I mean, but when I was a kid, no. But
I had to fucking, my mom would put that shit above the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the night, I would wake up, get the step stool, and fucking take that, like, just take a handful out. But I didn't have a garbage can in my room, like, when I was six. So,
right.
Like, I would have it, like, in my pockets and shit. My mom would, like, be like, what the fuck were you doing, fool? Like,
you're just, like, dropping it out of your pant leg like Andy Dufresne out of the prison yard.
Right, exactly. I slowly dig my way out. Number three, Twix.
Yeah, Twix is good.
Not a fan.
Oh.
No.
Is it between left Twix or right Twix or just in general?
I just don't like a Twix.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it about it? The caramel?
It's not good chocolate. It's not good caramel.
Wow.
And then it's that like tasteless wafer thing in the middle.
Fantastic.
Wow. So everything has to be good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. There's like a bare minimum, a standard. Okay. Number four, Kit Kat. I love Kit Kat.
I like a white chocolate Kit Kat.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Have you had the green tea Kit Kat?
Ever been to Japan? Ever known anybody who's taken a trip to Japan?
The matcha? That's good.
Mm.
Yeah. What was that one? Didn't I bring some shit back when I went to Japan? The banana ones.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Oh, yeah, I brought
that.
Banana Kit Kats back from Japan. No, they're really good.
Interesting.
Really good. I know you, it sounds disgusting because normally fake banana shit is not the wave.
Wait, was Kit Kat the one that was like, give me a break? Give me a break.
Break me off a piece of that Snickers bar. Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
We're
spent
both
way
Snickers?
Too much time together.
We did the same stupid ass punchline.
Terrible joke.
Number five, M&M's. Yeah.
Peanut M&M's.
Peanut only.
Ooh.
Yeah.
With the peanut. Oh, peanut, not peanut butter.
Peanut.
Have you ever had the coconut M&M's?
No.
Mm-hmm, those are kind of good. And the pretzel M&M's.
I was.
Yes.
I was saying they needed to make pretzel M&Ms before they made them, and now I've been disappointed in what they came up with.
Really?
Ever since, yeah.
I got them because I feel like Rex Ryan, the football coach, was addicted to them, and there was a story about that, and I was like, I got to try these, man, because my boy Rex, I think he knows how to snack.
The peanuts, I feel like, are the only candy that I could eat forever.
Like an endless loop?
Yeah, yeah.
Reese's Pieces, I feel like that, too.
I remember I read an article once that was like, a peanut M&M is a perfect snack because it's got sugar and protein, and it's talking about like eating 6 peanut M&Ms, right?
Right.
And I'm like, cool. M&Ms. Like,
as
get
a meal?
Get a king size bag, and there's your lunch.
Holy right. Have 6 and move on with your day.
Has anybody ever eaten 6 peanut M&Ms?
Only not. Like,
the only time is when there were only 6 peanut M&Ms left in the bag.
There
right.
We go.
Yeah.
I had to stop eating them because I was so addicted to them.
You were?
Really?
Yeah, I would always, every time I would go like to a gas station, I'd always get a bag of peanut M&Ms.
Yo, it's not, I mean, that's not a joke. Like, they specifically engineer this shit.
Would you ever do the move where you don't chew them, you let the candy shell dissolve in your mouth?
Honey,
and
I've done
then
it all.
Do that?
I don't know, I put it in my ears.
Oh,
put
wow.
I used to do that a lot, but I kind of like the crunch, like the... Yeah.
It's a mixture,
It's got the right
You know what I've also
balance
had?
Of it all.
Hit it with a hammer, opened it up like a baby. I've been like, my baby's born. You'd
hit a baby with a hammer?
That's not how babies
are born. You would crack open the
like
peanut,
a baby, you know.
The peanut M&M, and like birth the peanut out of it.
No!
As Leah pointed out, that's not how babies are born.
It's how like a
maybe
dinosaur baby is born, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like that scene in Jurassic Park where like that robot arm is like slowly taking the shell off.
That's exactly it.
And BD Wong is, well, we engineer all of them to be females in Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
Number 6, nerds.
You
know what?
Nerds are good.
This is actually one of the bullshit, like just sugars candies that I like.
Yeah,
because you could just put a mouthful in and let your teeth rot away.
They all dissolve. Yep. Yeah.
It's got a nice mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mouthfeel.
Yeah.
All about the mouthfeel.
Great mouthfeel. Number 7, Butterfinger, of course.
Oh, hell yeah. Butterfinger would be higher on my list for sure.
But what would you knock down? Of the Chocos.
I'm trying to think. Probably Twix.
Okay.
I would just flip-flop those.
Number 8, Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
I like Sour Patch Kids. A lot of people... on this sour candy taxonomy that Marnie Schur did on The Takeout, she was saying that the Sour Patch Kids are like, she only fucks with the Sour Patch watermelon. But I actually...
Oh, so many people love Sour
that's
Patch
just
watermelon.
Is that a whole candy or that's just a flavor within the pack?
No, that's the whole candy. They're like watermelons. Yeah, but I actually fuck with the kids themselves.
I was put off by...
All right, sorry.
Loop that.
oh, boy.
I was put off by watermelon candy from the jump, when I had Jolly Ranchers watermelon flavor. That shit just tasted like petroleum and sugar. Like the fake watermelon flavor in a watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
oh, the, like,
no,
light
for sure.
Pink ones?
Yeah, like they were confusing to my mouth. I was like, this tastes so fucking weird and caustic.
It's like your cilantro or whatever it is that people...
Yeah, they're like, here, try this. Is this good or bad? Now I know what your genetic type is. Number 9, Skittles.
I don't like Skittles.
I like the ones... What's the one in the blue pack?
That's the
tropical one?
Tropical.
Yeah.
I like those. I like OG more. Skittles.
You do?
Yeah. Mm.
Would you, again, another eating tactic, would you dump the bag and then divide and conquer?
It changes every time. Every time.
Sometimes you just dip in, see what you get.
Yeah.
Other times you segregate them separate but equally.
But when I don't eat them like by color, I feel like a slob.
Wow.
I'm just like putting it all in my mouth. Like,
do you eat them one color at a time or are you like making
I go
smoothies?
One color at a time usually.
Oh.
Wow. Huh. Interesting.
By the way, the French, the Marnie Schur, in this article... Nice piece of information. The French refer to Sour Patch Kids as very bad kids. Which I think is a good name.
And the number 10 is the Hershey bar. Tried and true. Straight out of Hershey, PA.
Yeah.
All the
so
cookies
no
and
Crunch
cream.
Bar on there. No.
Crunch. Crackle. You know, like when you get that mix pack with the Hershey stuff. Mr. Good Bar.
The Payday.
Hershey's
Payday.
Hershey's Dark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I love the dark chocolate. I didn't realize how much I liked that one.
I feel like I would put Hershey's is like number two after Reese's.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Like just
so
a regular
you
bar.
All about the quality of the chocolate, it sounds like, Leah.
I am.
What's the best? Okay, let's say you lived in a world where everyone was wealthy and they could import a chocolate from anywhere and that's what they handed out. What would be the chocolate that would bring you the most joy to be handed out, regardless of what's normal for Halloween?
Like a 75% dark with sea salt.
Holy shit. Okay. Refined. Straight up. Thank you for that. Wow. I just had recently a Hungarian chocolate that has paprika in it.
Ooh.
And it's fucking good. It's a dark chocolate with a little bit of bite.
Yeah.
You know? Shout out to Hungary.
Good job, Hungary.
Yeah.
European chocolate. Like, I feel like the Cadbury. Like, they actually put milk in their milk chocolate.
Yeah. I love, like, an Aero bar. Kinder Bueno. Right. You know, with the little hippopotamus.
Love Kinder.
Oh, the Bueno.
Kinder.
Love the Kinder Bueno. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Cadbury.
Bueno.
Shout out all chocolates around the world. That's my stance.
Except Tootsie Rolls.
Tootsie Rolls are not chocolate. You know what I mean?
Wait, yeah. What is a Tootsie Roll then?
It's what crack is to cocaine.
Is it?
Yeah, man. They're fucking around. Like, you so start off with chocolate.
They're trying to fuck with the
essence. And then they stomp on it and make it some whole other product.
Toblerone.
Oh, I love Toblerone.
Oh, wow. Haven't we been to Europe or on an airplane? Tootsie Roll, they call it... When you look at the Wikipedia article for Tootsie Roll, it says, Tootsie Roll is a mildly chocolate-flavored taffy-like candy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's taffy.
Yeah, that's what it is. Mm. I guess that's what all those are, right? Taffy-like. Yeah. I don't fuck with taffy, period, except for Starburst. Cadbury Flake, you ever have that?
Yep, had a flake. Yep, love a flake.
I don't think I've had a flake.
Oh, wow.
You gotta try the flake.
You simply must.
Flake gang.
I'm excited.
Okay, Jeff Flake, for all the Jeff Flake fans out there. Arizona Senator, former.
Anybody fuck with Mounds? Almond Joy?
Almond Joy has nuts. That's, Mounds don't.
That's what she said. Anybody fuck with Mounds?
Anybody fuck with Mounds?
Yeah, hell yeah. I'll fuck with Mounds then in that case. If it means I'm cool. Hey, is that a good thing? Then yes. That's the one that has...
Coconut.
Coconut.
And then, like a payday.
Like overpoweringly coconut.
Yeah, I don't mind that. The only difference with Almond Joy is it has an almond on top of the fucking coconut.
Yeah.
It doesn't fundamentally change much. You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't like it, you could just be like, I'll take this one almond piece off the top
of this.
Those
are my favorite ads for candy is where they show you what's inside the chocolate and then they pour the chocolate over and be like, look at it perfectly molding over the chocolate. Oh, I love that shit.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't. Almond Joy. They were really just all about telling you what specifically is in there. They're just
Almond Joys have nuts. Mounds don't.
That's what jingles are.
That's your jingle, bro?
That's exactly what jingles are for. They're just telling you what it is in a fun way for you to be like, that's stuck in my head, so I'll think about it forever.
There was some...
You know there's actually 14 verses to that jingle?
Is there?
No.
And the fifth and sixth ones, super racist.
Yeah, they're really popular.
They're from back in the... A lot of
the word use of Oriental in there. Very eesh.
I'm sorry, what?
Wait, I think Weird Al wrote this?
Oh, boy.
Really?
No.
No.
Or is there, because I'm on lyrics.
This is
going
to take the next day for us to fact check.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Leah, it's been a pleasure having you. Great first time guest. Where can people find you, follow you?
Engage with you. Support you.
Yeah, so the app is spendwellapp.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. I'm Leah Rappaport on Twitter and Instagram. You will mostly see pictures of my nieces and nephew if that's what you're into. Actually, if that's what you're into, please don't follow me.
That's just
more make with the nephew pics.
Yeah, but spendwellapp.com, we're releasing in November, so get on our mailing list and we'll let you know when you can sign up.
Yeah, it sounds like such a great way to proportionately give whatever you can.
Yeah, exactly.
And feel good. So you can buy Shell gasoline.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, there is. This is a country music : I'm going to live and die in my hometown. Happy face. Pop punk music : I'm going to live and die in my hometown. Sad face.
There it is.
That's at Joey Goldger.
Goldger
wrote that. Glghr.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's how I'd pronounce it.
Goldger.
Yeah, hell yeah, Goldger.
Goldger. Sounds like a yogurt treat. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, follow me, Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Now, a tweet, actually not even a tweet. It came to me in the form of an Instagram direct message from the user DaleCollins331. You sent me a meme from something that's called the Batuta Advocate, which I feel is like a sort of onion style account. And it says, sneakerhead coworker surprises office by revealing he's also a massive Wu-Tang fan.
Oh no, it's too true.
Also, if you're in the Chicago area October 16th at 7 p.m. at the Hungry Brain, you can experience firsthand the power, the magic, the majesty of Ethnically Ambiguous, the podcast that's hosted by our very own Anna Hosnier and Shireen Yunez. Pull up. Have a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Do it.
And get your tickets at ChicagoPodcastFestival.com.
Straight up! A tweet I've been enjoying. Let's see. Not just a bad day of Twitter, guys. Sorry. Try harder next time.
Wow.
No, Sarah Beatty tweeted, when I die, I want to be buried in a place that floods a lot so my corpse can still go on adventures. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is a track from Avelino, okay? This is more, you know, the Top Boy soundtrack has still been infiltrating my mind. And this track is called Belly of the Beast. The production is really dope, and I like his lyricism. So check out Avelino, Belly of the Beast. And if you haven't seen Top Boy on Netflix and you like UK gang thug shit, check it out because it's actually pretty well done. And the soundtrack, again, is amazing.
All right, we're going to ride into the week on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then. Okay, bye-bye.
I don't give a fuck, yeah, what your name is. Yeah. If I do you something, then I'm stupid. Do me something, then you're famous. Yeah. Running out of luck, yeah, in my trainers, yeah. Trying to get paid, give a fuck about a pagan, yeah. Do this for the money, man, I do this for the dough. I'm in a safari, man, I'm shooting off the chrome. Trying to get my coke in so I'm never home alone. I'ma run the game cause I'm running out of dough. Someone give me something I could take for all this pain. Fighting for my freedom, got me trapping in the rain.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.